So here we are in a new environment in many ways, wondering perhaps, what's it like to have a king? That's a sermon title, and on this, the reign of Christ, Christ the King Sunday, it seemed like a useful kind of thing to think about. And I'm quite certain that none of us here know what it's like to have a king. I mean, we don't really know what it's like to have a queen either. I mean, Queen Elizabeth, the monarch of the UK, head of the Commonwealth, is indeed our head of state and that sort of thing, but really doesn't have a day-to-day impact on us. And even in the UK, the monarch doesn't have that day-to-day impact. But still, I don't think I'm alone, that I felt something a little odd when Queen Elizabeth died. She's been there always for me and for everybody I know. So what does that look like when we have this transition of the longest serving English monarch, one of the longest serving monarchs ever, and now we have a king? Well, it really doesn't make that much difference. We're going to have money that looks different soon enough, I suppose. Run across a few people who aren't too sure they want to have some miscellaneous guy on the back of their coins. They're used to having the queen there in her changing effigies, is the technical name for that picture on the head of our coins. So that probably is going to be the biggest impact it has on us. It'll be more, perhaps, in the UK, but really not a whole lot. We no longer have kings that have this connection with us where what they do changes whatever we're doing that particular day. It hasn't been that way for a long time. We don't even have that with our current government. Oh yes, they make laws, they make changes, but it's not quite the same. We don't have a single person up there. So what's it like to have a king? Well, when we look at our Jeremiah reading, what we see is Jeremiah writing to people who did know what a king was like. And when he says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land," these people had an idea of a geopolitical kind of king, a political force, someone who had the law of high and low justice, someone who could just walk around, change taxes whenever he felt like it, point at two people in a crowd and say, "Kill the one on the left and give the one on the right a bag of gold," and nobody would do a thing about it, because that's what kings were like. And so when Jeremiah is writing to those people, that's what they take to Jeremiah's words. We realize that Jeremiah was doing that prophetic thing where he's looking into the future and he's seeing things, but the perspective is kind of odd. One of the useful things that I've heard to sort of describe prophecy is, imagine looking at a range of mountains. And from your perspective, they all look about the same, but the valley in between, often you can't see it. And so what looks like would just be a matter of driving, you know, or heaven forbid, walking, but driving, you know, a few minutes. When you get there, it turns out that it takes you maybe a half an hour, maybe an hour to get from one mountain to the next, because you can't see the valley. You can't see how much distance there is. You can't see how far apart things are. And so we're at the other side of Jeremiah. And we realize that Jeremiah was speaking perhaps to a geopolitical king, but even more so was speaking to the reality of Jesus only hundreds and hundreds of years before. And so when we think of what it might be like to be a king, or what it's like to have a king, we're at a bit of a loss. And so why do we have Christ the King Sunday? Because Jesus is a king. Just not that kind of a king. A dramatically different king. And yet at the same time, in the same way that the king could walk into any prison, for example, and say, "Okay, you are set free." There's no appeal necessary or anything else. The king could just do that. We see Jesus doing that exact thing even when he's on the cross in our gospel lesson. And that's where we start interacting, perhaps, if you will, with the chronology of Jesus' kingship. Because the king who says you are free is the king who is the king at that moment. If the prince, the king's son, and we're dealing pretty much exclusively with male people here, let's be honest, that when we're thinking of the sort of the stereotypical king, they tend to be men. tend to be awful. But still, so when the king's son is walking around and saying, oh, you're free and you're not, it doesn't hold the same weight. And if the king is long lived enough and the prince is long lived enough, if a grandson or a great grandson comes in and says, you're free, maybe it counts, maybe it doesn't. But when the king says, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise, that means something. Jesus is demonstrating that his kingship was then and now. We don't have to wait for this king the same way the people that Jeremiah was writing to. Jesus is king at this moment. And what does that mean? Well, then we flip over to Colossians, where Paul has this long list of things. And if you want to do something interesting sometime, go to that part of Colossians. If you have the New International Version or any Bible that has got headings, which are not canonical but just helpful, in the NIV it says the supremacy of Christ, starting at verse 15 of chapter 1. Go through there and look for things like by him, for him, in him, he is, in him again, through him. All of these things are coming together. And what this passage of scripture is saying, it might have been a hymn, it might have been set to music as a way to remember this better, because that's one of the ways that many of us memorize best, is when things are set to music. But what we're seeing here is a comprehensive list of things about Jesus that goes not just to when Jesus was on the cross and speaking to the one thief to the side who wasn't mocking him, but even before that, because it says, in this, once again, we're in the New International Version, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Okay, that could happen at that point. For by him all things were created. Things in heaven, things in earth, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So obvious, it's obvious that Jesus isn't just this king, pronounced, announced, anointed, whatever, when he's on the cross, making that pronouncement, or even in his earthly ministry when he was raising people from the dead and when he was healing the sick, but before everything. And so then we have a question, perhaps, that relates to what's it like to have a king. Why doesn't this king do what we want? Well, let's remember that kings do what they do, that that's the way it works, that the king is at the top. I was listening to a very interesting podcast today about the philosophy of kingship that was back in the 15 and 1600s when people were grappling with, what do we do with these kings? How do we have religious liberty of any sort under a king? How can a Roman Catholic and a Protestant, or Roman Catholics and Anabaptists and Lutherans and Reformed and everybody, how can we all get along? What is the king's responsibility there? And that's when we begin to see this idea that the king serves the people, not just himself. But if that's true, what about our king? I don't know about you, but I have prayed for things, even good things, not just trivial things, that haven't happened. People I know and love who were ill have died. How can that be when we serve this king for whom all things and through all things are created? Well, if you're waiting for the answer, I'm afraid you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, because I don't have it. People much wiser than me, smarter than me, better educated and better read than me have written whole books on this idea of how does this all work, and we just don't know. Sometimes we can see it, sometimes we can see answers to prayer, to be sure. We see even the miraculous at times, but not always. So does that mean that our king is somehow less kingly? Our king is kind of hopeless? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means often is, to push that metaphor of the mountain, that what we see isn't what is actually there to be seen. And that sometimes our vision is too short. Our sense of what's right is too small. And the way I think about this, the way that's helpful for me, and I think I've probably shared it here before, is that when you're young, you pray for things of which, and there's nothing wrong with these prayers. These are sincere, authentic prayers for things that are good, like a bicycle or a puppy or whatever it is you might want. You ask for it for Christmas, but you also pray for it. I think sort of covering your bases, but I'm not sure. But you pray for these things, and what's more sincere than a child, and you don't get them. And then when you get a little bit older, you look back and say, okay, when I was 2, I probably couldn't ride a bicycle. It's just as well I didn't get one. And we lived in a place where a dog was inappropriate or not allowed, so not getting a dog was actually probably pretty good because we would have had to move. And when we look at those things, we begin to realize that maybe, just maybe, we don't know enough to know that our prayer, our desire, is the best thing. Which doesn't mean we stop praying, because we have to work on the knowledge that we have. We do the best we can with what we know and with who we are, and that's a good thing. It's when we think that what we know as the best thing is the best thing that we run into difficulties. I don't know how it all works together, that good people prosper and what I consider righteous people don't. But somehow this makes sense to God in a way that when we finally figure it out, when we meet God face to face, if this is still an issue for us, it will be explained to us in a way where we see God's justice and grace coming together in a way that doesn't do violence to the perfect nature of God. But until then, we remember that we have a king. And just because we don't have the full context doesn't mean that we don't pray for what we want and what we need and what we think is right. We serve a king who does what is right. And if we don't quite get it, that doesn't mean that we're bad or that God is bad. It means that we are simply limited in our humanity, which isn't a bad thing. The world in which we live is a fallen world. People die. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. Our lack of understanding doesn't mean that somehow Jesus, our King, is asleep or away. It means we lack understanding. It took me a long time to come to that realization, and a longer time after that to realize that it was okay to not like it and to be frustrated by it sometimes. But we still serve a king. And I am so glad that we end the year, because this is the end of the liturgical year. We start our new Christian year, our new church year next Sunday. We end on this high note of Christ the King. The reign of Christ is a reality, even when it doesn't look like it. Because even when we look back to those kings who could have people cast to their death or whatever else it might be, good things still happened. There was more going on than we can see in the past. God has always kept his witness, even when we think perhaps it's not there. And we see it in our lives today. Sometimes we have to look back a ways to see it. Sometimes it's right in front of us. But wherever it is, however we see it, what we're seeing is the reality of a God who loves us, that Jesus came to demonstrate that his kingship was for us, and that it's through that love of Jesus, that relationship that we have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that we are becoming more and more the people we are created to be, and that's to be conformed to the image of Christ, our King. It's not perfect yet, but it's on its way. And we celebrate that reality today as we end this year and then begin our next year with this sense of anticipation and Advent. So, what's it like to have a king? It's like it is right now. Amen.